The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
So I saw my parents argue a lot. My father was chronically unfaithful to my mother. Mm-hmm. And again, still being a Christian. So there was a time where I didn't want anything to do right. with Jesus. I didn't see anything worth following. So I became on my own thinking, I'm going to figure out life for myself.
Alisa Keaton shares her spiritual journey through healing past pain and moving into true wellness. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robison. Tammy is with me, and Alisa Keaton is yes. back with us today. And we're talking about her book, The Body Revelation, which we are offering to you, and you'll support our outreach. And Tammy, I know you really enjoyed our last discussion.
I did. It's like we touched the surface, you yeah. know, and I looked at your notes, and you had a lot yeah, more stuff on there. I kind of felt like we had this little conversation about girl stuff, and then you had all your other questions, and I was like, I want to know the answers to that. So we have her back today. I'm so excited myself because I think me growing up, I was so much more into fitness than even the wellness, the wholeness mm-hmm. side of things. And now that I'm later in life, I realize that there's plenty of things in my life that still need healing,
yeah.
that still need wholeness, mm. that needs wellness. Mm. And all of those things affect my fitness, affect my body, mm-hmm. affect a lot of things moving forward, and probably you too. So Alisa, I'm glad that you're back today so that we can hit on some more things today,
yes.
go a little bit deeper.
Yes.
But can you first kind of recap mm-hmm. the show that we had you on previously? Mm-hmm. Just real quickly recap.
Yeah, what I was trying to recap in that show or what we talked about there was getting a new understanding of what our bodies are for, that our bodies are not about vanity, they're about ability. What do we do? It's when Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. But it's more about if we really love him, then that we would express that love through our bodies, not reluctantly or not begrudgingly, but it would flow through us. We talked about where energy goes or where we focus, power happens, and our bodies are the fullest expression of love made seen here on earth. But there's some things that have happened to us, stressful, traumatic moments in life, stress overall, just living in a state of stress, changes our brain, making it hard to think, feel, and choose what's best.
Yeah.
And we need to have a deeper conversation and a paradigm understanding of what our bodies are for, yeah. especially yeah. in the church. Yeah.
That deeper conversation, mm-hmm. I want to start with you.
Yeah, you go.
Can you take us a little bit deeper? I know that you've gone through some things reading
yeah.
in your book. You share a lot, your
yeah.
podcast as well. Can you take us a little bit deeper into your life and
yes.
how it affected you?
Yes. Well, the book is about how to metabolize our pain, how to take our pain and turn it into something that is useful. I grew up in a home where we would say we were Christians and my parents believed in Jesus and introduced Jesus to us, mostly because their marriage was pretty much in shambles. And by God's grace, Jesus came, or our neighbors shared the gospel with us, and we became Christians, which was good. And yet I didn't see any change in my parents, other than we had a change of allegiance of who our God was. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any change. I didn't see them loving each other better. I didn't see forgiveness. I didn't see mercy. I didn't see anything. I just kind of, it was safety. It was just, okay, we're now safe in the love of God, which we are. But in my book, that's why we go from, we don't want to just stay safe in surviving, because anyone can do that. And even trying to lose weight in some ways is a survival technique, when what we need is to growth into transformation. So I saw my parents argue a lot. My father was chronically unfaithful to my mother. And again, still being a Christian. So there was a time where I didn't want anything to do
right.
with Jesus. I didn't see anything worth following. So I became on my own thinking, I'm going to figure out life for myself. I got into the fitness world because I could control my body. But It wasn't until I realized there was more that I needed. And it was when I had the poverty of soul that when Jesus came, I really took him for all he was worth. Like, this was it for me. If I was going to say yes to Jesus, it wasn't going to be the Jesus that my parents showed me. Mm-hmm. I was going all in. I was going to do the treasure hunt. I was going to find out what this was for. But in doing that was where my personal pain continued to come up through my children, my family. I couldn't live out the Gospels, the scriptures, the way I would read them. But that was because I needed healing to my brain. I needed healing. I need rest in Jesus and not working for Jesus. I needed to understand a yoke that was easy and light and a kindness from him that is compassionate. That began to change me. I understood the gospel not from a workspace. I understood it from an intimacy place. Mm-hmm. And that has changed me as a parent. My marriage has been redeemed through this process. I mean, it was hard there for a while because we both got married not as Christians. And that created tension. But again, back to my body, I learned to host the Holy Spirit in my body. That's been the biggest and best revelation of my life.
I do know one thing from dieting, mm-hmm. Or from working out, mm-hmm. is that if I do something for a while and I don't see any results,
yes.
I'm done.
You quit, right?
I'm going to be like, this doesn't work.
Right.
Or at least it doesn't work for me. It
right.
may have worked for you, but it didn't work for me. How did you get beyond that faith yeah. that you saw not working in your childhood family
yes.
to give it a second try and go, maybe there was just something,
yes.
you know, something not, well, not working.
Well, it goes
there.
Back to the fact, and you hit something really good, in our flesh, we're focused on results. We want to see something
sure.
happen.
Right.
And
yeah.
when we don't, we feel disappointed. We're like, well, forget that. And I think for me, it was, I know there has to be more than what I saw in my parents.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go deeper to the unseen place with God. It's that intimacy of him knowing me and me knowing him. Mm. So moving my body or being still and being loved became an unseen place, a place where just me and him were together with all of who I was. And those are practices that I teach in the book. This is why he wants your body to come to bring all that you're holding and containing inside of you. To him. And that then became the most beautiful part. I know my body is fading away. We're a jar of clay, as Paul says. It is cracking, it is bending, but that isn't the focus. The focus is the unseen things that are eternal. Look not to the things that are seen, mm-hmm. right? Because if you keep looking at your scale, keep looking at the food, and if that's why you're doing it, you're going to feel frustrated. But look to the unseen. How's your energy? How's your heart? Mm. How are you loving people? Mm. You know, I could remember there'd be times, and this was in my brokenness of healing, my daughter would be crying. And I would be so frustrated that I knew what she needed was a hug. I couldn't get my body to do it.
Mm.
I was so hurt. I was so frustrated. I was so toxic kind of in a way inside. Mm. And those were the moments I was like, God, you've got to do something. Because I know that I'm made for more love and compassion and care. I just can't get the two to coordinate.
Yeah.
Was it just a surrender? Do you think that was
it? It was a deeper surrender. Yeah, it was a surrender with also this, I've got nothing left. Almost,
desperation.
Yeah, I guess a desperation.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A really desperation. I did not want to live a faith that I saw my parents live.
Yeah.
It was kind of the greatest gift they gave me was like something I don't want to be.
Right.
And yet I wanted Jesus to be the reality that I lived day and night, night and day.
So one thing you write about is mm-hmm. pain as motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm hearing a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, sir.
And I know, again, we're in the workout world, in the physical world, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know you're doing good when your muscles hurt.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But how did mm-hmm. you use the pain to move you to a better place and not just quit?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, in the book, I talk about the difference between pain and tension.
Okay.
They're very different. Tension is uncomfortable. So when I work out and my muscles are sore, it's uncomfortable. I not really, you know, don't like it, but I'm not in pain.
That's true.
Right? So
yeah,
I think we tend to label everything as painful
yeah, right.
because we like everything convenient and comfortable. We've been kind of babied in a way and comforted. that we need to get okay again with tension, with not agreeing with other people, but holding that tension. People that are opposite of me, holding the tension while realizing we all come to the table with a story of pain, where real pain, real trauma, real hurt, real disappointment. And then when I can have empathy for myself for those moments that have been really painful, and I define it in the book, we talk about trauma, and trauma is basically any life experience. This is SAMHSA, this is the definition I use, is any life experience that has had an effect on you emotionally, physically, mentally, socially, or spiritually. So it just you can't file it away. It's too big. And we've all lived through something. 70% of people in the United States say they have one trauma. And again, it's pain, because we're not made for it, but yet we will have it. And I think we have to reconcile that the pain is going to be there, but can I breathe and take this pain and know that God is doing something good with this? That's the tension. I don't like it, God. I wish it didn't happen. This feels tense to me, but I'm going to persevere. I'm going to keep going and not just cut the rope and cut bait and leave. That has been part of the journey for me of understanding, defining what's been painful and what is just tension.
Interesting.
So good. I, you know, literally am listening to you to learn. I'm not even listening to respond. I can't even think of the next question. I'm just soaking this up.
And I think I want to honor that this is called the body revelation. The revelation means to know what you could never know, because it's from heaven to earth. And I believe there is a time on the earth now that the bride needs her body back.
Yes.
The bride needs her body back, not for vanity. For ability. And if we can get this health inside of us that is powered by the Holy Spirit, we'll see change.
Amen.
All right, let's run through a little bit of the analogy that you used.
Okay.
But I think there's a literal application to it. So you talk about warming up, working out, and cooling down. But yet, when I look at the breakdown of that, you know, you talk about surviving, recognizing your pain, expressing your energy, humbling yourself, staying the course, and taking ownership. That's a lot bigger than just a physical workout.
Yes, yes.
Walk us through some of this healthy process that you see.
Yes. Well, what's interesting about it is, as you go through the book, the stages, it's six stages. The first stage is just dropping the pin on, hey, we're surviving, you're getting through. You can keep doing what you're doing and be saved, but not set free and transformed to transform others, right? And I think that's what I'm eager to see. The church holds so much power waiting to be released if we could get out of the survival mode. And that just runs off of fear. That's fear that we see that just leadership from fear, anything from fear will terminate and can't go any further. But we also have to express, being able to recognize, I believe, all of our best leaders too, people that make mistakes, nobody wants to do it on purpose.
Right.
Nobody says, you know, I'm gonna grow up, I'm gonna grow a big church, and then I'm gonna fail everyone. Right? No one says that.
Right.
That
exactly.
happens because of pain. There's something in their story that probably has catapulted them into a great leader that they are. But unless some of these places, the intimate places of who I am, can be expressed, which is the next stage I talk about in the book, I need to express this. I need to be able to talk about it. The church needs to be a safe place for that we can bring that to the table to metabolize, to chew on it, to take each other to the word, to pray over each other.
I can't tell you how many church leaders, evangelist pastors, in my lifetime would come to my dad because they had no place to express their pain.
Randy.
And it destroyed them in many cases.
Randy, yes. We have to become that. This is why 12-step groups are so powerful.
Yeah.
There's no judgment, and that's part of something I teach in the book of mindfulness means to be in the present moment without judgment and having the ability to feel what I feel and to communicate it without feeling you're going to cut me off, I'm going to be distanced from you.
I'm going to lose my job.
I'm going to lose my
job,
which would be more trauma, more pain. So we keep hiding back instead of stepping into, I need to express this in a healthy, safe way.
And if we don't do that, we can never get onto the good stuff
that
you're talking about,
right?
We can't get
that's what I love.
Right?
I'm like, in the book, I'm like, keep going. Yes. Getting there. Because
right,
by the time we get to the fifth stage, which is after humility, the fourth stage is to humble ourselves.
How do you humble yourself?
Because you lay yourself flat and you're desperate.
Okay.
And that moment of surrender.
Yeah. Well, you don't care what anybody thinks
you're
at that point, right?
And you're hungry. You're hungry for the things of God, no longer for the things of the earth. And that's why I'm so tired. I love everyone. You've been on your diets and been doing all your things. It's like God has more for your body than staying busy in a rat race of counting calories and trying the next program. Lay your body before Him. Humble yourself. You know, the Jewish culture was so good, the ancient culture, they were good about using their body. They would literally tie. You go to Jerusalem now, they tie their scripture around their arms. They have the little phylacteries on their head. They take it legitimately. This body is covered in God. When we humble ourselves before God, then we are exalted. Stage 5 and 6 of the book is about staying the course, meaning, okay, in humility, you're adopted into the kingdom. You are now, this body is a whole different game.
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to the things of the world anymore. I don't, they're useful. Thank you for the help. Thank you for doctors and medicines. Great. But God is the King and the Lord of Lords over this body.
Yes.
I love it. It says in Revelations, when Jesus comes back, on His thigh will be tattooed, Lord of Lords. Like, this is who I am.
Well, you didn't have tattoos in the church.
Hey.
I grew up in the wrong church. So we weren't allowed to have tattoos.
We are children of God, and we have the ability to stay the course, keep going.
Yes.
Your inheritance is in heaven.
Yeah.
You've been given every spiritual blessing. So why do we live as if we lack?
Yeah.
As C.S. Lewis, we're content with playing in the mud and playing in the mud piles when we've been invited to a vacation at the sea. So the book takes you on that tour to get to the vacation by the sea where you keep ownership, taking ownership of your body. Jesus gives the keys to Peter and says, on this rock, take these keys. I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. There is an enemy who hates your very design. Why does he hate it? Here, think about this. I love this part. Think about that day when Jesus or God formed us. He had to just been seething. What is that? A body? Beauty seen? Magnificent? I say this in the book. He is not jealous for you. He's jealous of you. The fact that you are an image bearer. Your body. I'm printing out a shirt coming up soon. It's just going to say image bearer, image bearer. Everywhere we go, image bearer, image bearer, image bearer. So I'm not looking at the shape of your thighs or the size of your biceps. That's great if they work. If you are in a wheelchair today, image bearer. Image bearer. Speak. If you have breath in your lungs, you're qualified to make heaven seen. That's what your body's for.
I'm fired up.
I have a question.
Yes,
because a lot of people are watching this program. They've watched this. They've heard this. They've been like, oh, that sounds great. I'm excited. Tammy's excited.
I am.
And then doubt creeps in.
Sure.
What do we do with the doubt? How do we know it's true?
Well, first of all, back to mindfulness. It means to be in the present moment without judgment. We're so quick to rush to a judgment. If I have doubt, I tend to think, oh, well, then I shouldn't do that. I make a judgment. I make a decision based on a doubt. It's not sin to doubt. It's just there. And if I can observe the doubt, but I got to have scripture in me. I got to have some word in me. Friends, read your Bible.
Yes.
Read your Bible. Only Barna did a study that only 11% of Americans read their Bible every day. But yet we eat 3, 4, or 5 times a day, right? And we're on our phones 2,617 times we touch it. Anyways, I digress. Read your Bible. Read your Bible so that when the doubt comes, right? That's what Eve needed to do in the garden. And when, you know, that, did God really say?
Yeah.
That was a doubt.
See, that's the doubt.
The doubt.
Yeah.
And that's not, again, at that moment, I talk about this in the book, at that moment, Eve would have felt her nervous system, because God gave us a nervous system. God gave us emotions. She would have felt a little queasy, a little something like confusion. In that moment, had she turned and been like, I'm going to go talk to my father again.
Yeah.
Okay. There would have been no sin.
Yeah.
But the doubt did not get doubted. So you need to doubt your doubts. I'm snapping my fingers now, everyone.
Right.
I take it.
It's good.
I love it.
You need to doubt your
doubts
with the word of God. Wait, what did God
take
say?
God. Yeah.
What did God say to me? Stay the course.
Stay the course. There you go. I love it.
Stay the course. Snap your fingers at me anytime, girl. I'll take it. Stay the course. What joy you bring wherever you go.
Thank you, Tammy.
Such a privilege to have you here, and such a privilege for us as a ministry to be able to bring joy all around the world. Take a second and check this out.
You know, we want to give children like these beautiful children shoes, children all over the world. There goes another one. We want to give them shoes.
What's wrong with me?
You know what Jesus said? Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. You know what? We are the representative of Christ. We're his body. We're his family. And we can share his love. We love these little children. We're going to give these little children shoes. Look at these beautiful little feet.
They have nothing, really, you know, but they love, they can still play. They can still have fun. They're children, and I think that's what they're supposed to be. Instead of having to worry about walking around without any shoes where they step on stuff, hurt their feet, and also get disease through that, too.
Maybe they just tough it out and they play. But we found out right here in this area that hookworms get in the skin, maybe where they've got a little tear in the skin, get in the bloodstream, ultimately into the intestines, and cause very serious disease and sometimes death. Look here, this boy's had a blowout in his tennis shoe. He has played so hard and gotten so dirty. You need to wash your shirt, man. Isn't it great? See, the kids, they want to have fun. And we're going to love them with your help. We're going to give them good new shoes. We, not me, all of us together. Let's put shoes on all these beautiful children's beautiful feet. It'll just be such a wonderful gift to make at this time. And I hope you'll do all you can. Just give as many pairs as you can to bless as many children and their families as you can.
You know, I can honestly say that one of the greatest lessons I've learned from my parents is when you see a need, you fill it. And many years ago, they saw the need of children not having something on their feet, not just a comfort issue, but a health issue. And they said, you know what, we're going to do something about that. And so many of you that watched this program, you saw that too, and you said, we're going to fill that need. And you know, we have provided, Tammy, so many shoes for children around the world.
Yes.
I am just honored to be able to sit here with you and to continue that. And to say to our friends that are watching, hey, there's a need.
Yeah.
Let's be the answer to that.
That's right. You know what I want to say to them? There goes another one.
I know, right?
Or that kid had a blowout in his shoe. I love your parents so much. Your dad is so great with the kids, and so is your mom, and they speak truth. These kids, they just want to be kids. They just want to play. And I can't think of a better gift in this season than to give them a pair of new shoes, especially if they've never had a pair. Some of them are wearing hand-me-downs. Some of them, they have a blowout and they need a pair of shoes. So what an opportunity that we've been given to bring joy, to bring life, to bring fun in this way. You can be a part of that with us. We have a goal this year to bring 150,000 pairs of shoes. We've done over 2.5 million. Is that right?
It's hard to believe.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's conservative.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Well, I was thinking, because every time I go on one of these trips, it's just, there's just so many. There's so many kids, and they keep showing up from every community because they're ready to get a gift. And I'm so happy to be a part of that. Do you know that it only takes $36 to give 10 pairs of shoes to children? 72 will give 20 pairs. 180 will give 50 pairs, Randy.
Yeah. $1,000, actually, will provide 275 pairs of shoes. That's 275 children that will receive a gift of new shoes this Christmas, if you're able to do that. And don't forget, we also have the corrective surgery. So many children would like to smile this Christmas, but they physically can't. And we are able to go in, and for a gift of $500, you can provide one corrective surgery. And many of you can do more than that, and I would ask you to consider that. But whatever you can do, it's about, you know, we say Christmas, it's about the spirit of giving.
Yes.
And really, it's about being obedient to our Lord and saying, you know, Lord, I see them. I'm going to do my part, whatever it is. let's all just be a part of that promise that it's greater to give than to receive. And this Christmas is a wonderful time to reach out and give a pair of shoes or give a child the ability to smile. Will you go online right now or go to the phone and make the best gift that you can? Let's put shoes on their feet and smiles on their faces. Join us this Christmas as we reach out with the love of God around the world. Give the best gift you can.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences, and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 pairs of Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request the beautifully crafted green crystal shoes ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring three of life's crystal Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries. With this gift, you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
What a great blessing to be a blessing in the lives of others this year. I hope you are joining with us, going online, going to the phone, making the best gift you can. We will make this Christmas so special together. And today, when you make the best gift you can request a wonderful book that Tammy's holding.
Yes, we'd love to send this to you for any amount, for any gift you're able to give to the ministry today. We want to get this in your hands, and we know it's going to bless you.
Yes, and you know, Lisa's blessed us. So
oh,
I want to say thank you.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
What a revelation.
Yay!
Of the body, the body revelation, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Tell people the podcast and the website if they want to keep following you.
Yeah, the podcast is Revelation Wellness, Healthy and Whole, and the website is revelationwellness.org.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and
thank you
for being with us. If you missed the first program with Elisa, go to lifetoday.org, and we'll see you again next time.
And a girl went from 8 or 10 seizures a day to totally healed.
Benny Tate, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.